You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome. It's the dynamic duo, Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, bringing you another Locked On Wolves podcast. And we have a special guest hailing from down south, from Texas, from places that are far warmer, at least I hope they are, than the snow that's pounding down on the state of Minnesota yet again. Brian, a repeat offender. He runs the Blue Hardwood podcast covering the Mavericks. And as always, it's a fantastic, fantastic privilege to have you on the show.
Guys, you don't even want to know what the weather is right now in Austin.
Don't even tell me. It's just going to make me sad. Dude, I just got out of a polar vortex.
71.
Curses.
I had to turn on the air today.
Damn it, Brian.
So, Trey, we do the rest of the show without him? We're good?
Yeah,
without him?
Yep. Brian, right. Go. We don't really need to know anything about the Mavs anyways.
Perfect. Perfect. Glad to hear it. So, obviously, Brian's doing a lot better than Trey or I. We're enduring the cold weather in the northern parts of the country. So, we're going to try and ignore him and his fair weather conversation. But we do have some basketball to talk about as well. And we're talking about this and the night before the trade deadline, and this will be going up early in the morning on the 7th, the end of the trade deadline. So any trades that happen from about now until the end of Thursday, we haven't covered, obviously, because they haven't happened yet, so we apologize for that. But there have been some moves that have happened just the last couple of days, and then going back to last week with the Mavericks move, which I'm sure Brian is busting at the seams to talk about. But I wanted to get from both of you guys, and we'll start with Brian, because they have had the most activity, the Mavericks. But what is your take on the trade deadline so far? What is your take on the feeling around this trade deadline? Obviously, there's a lot of Kyrie and Anthony Davis talk, but really, except for the Mavericks, kind of a quiet trade, at least so far, kind of a quiet race through the trade deadline.
Man, it seems like a lot of teams, to me personally, are loading up for this free agent class. I mean, you look at a team like mm-hmm. New York, shedding salary left and right. We had the big move late, or I guess early this morning, that the Clippers laid out with the Sixers. Man, they're trying to load up and make a big splash, too. You know, the Lakers are obviously trying to trade everybody, not LeBron James, and hoping they can land a big fish. I don't really think there's not a road that these teams, like, you're either really good or really bad right now, so it seems like teams aren't really trying to load up for draft picks at the moment. It seems like shedding salary and loading up for the big fish in the summer is the big feel I'm getting. I mean, you've got other teams meandering out there. You know, Washington just shed some salary earlier today. Not really sure what Chicago's doing. Very questionable move. I mean, you've got some minor deals here where Houston's adding, you know, a functional piece where they need bodies at this point. But it seems like, to me personally, and Trey, feel free to chime in, a lot of teams are just trying to load up for the summer.
No, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to add to that. I think it feels a lot like all the past few trade deadlines have been kind of centered around like this idea of, I guess this is kind of like a millennial example, but you guys know probably from going to like GameStop or something, if you're going to return a video game after buying one, you essentially get like no money for it. After spending $60 on a game, you get like $10 back. And sure, that's kind of what every trade deadline has felt like in the past few years. And we haven't really seen a lot of those deals lately. A lot of people have been arguing that, you know, Philadelphia kind of gave up a lot for Tobias Harris. But in reality, they're getting another all-star to add to that team and kind of relieve some pressure from them to sign Jimmy Butler to the max this summer if they decide to go the other way with Harris. So I kind of really like that deal, too. And to kind of go off what Brian's saying, this is a very cap-heavy trade market right now. So we're seeing a lot of deals centered around either exchanging young players across the lunch table for essentially the same item, and or we're seeing teams try to give up as much cap as possible. We saw the Heat try to deal, or at least they did actually deal, Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington today to the Phoenix Suns for Ryan Anderson to essentially get under the luxury tax. And now we're seeing the Washington Wizards in the past 30 minutes trade Otto Porter to the Chicago Bulls for Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis, which is a hope for Washington to shed cap post the 2020 summer. So there's a lot of teams right now making deals to shed cap. There's a lot of exchanging, you know, role players here and there off the bench. Houston's really trying to add their bench right now with Iman Shumpert, Nick Stauskas, and other guys too. They've been trying to add a lot of guys in the past 15 minutes, and I think they're going to continue to do so throughout the night and tomorrow. So you're going to see a lot of, kind of like what Brian said, there's a lot of great teams and a lot of, you know, poor teams, and you're going to see a lot of the great teams try to take these bench role players, and a lot of the poor teams just kind of try to get off this heavy cap that they have.
Well, and even, and I like that analogy, the trade stop analogy, but even past that, I feel like this entire couple of weeks, maybe a month leading up to the trade deadline, has been this overwhelming story of this Anthony Davis trade that's going to give a ton of pieces to the Pelicans and really energize or really kind of give one specific team. We assume it's the Lakers, but Anthony Davis is going to give one team that big boost to make a real difference in the playoffs. And the underlying trades have been all really kind of almost make you feel dirty for one team or another. I mean, you look at like the trade for the Mavericks and the Knicks look stupid in that trade. You look at the trade with like the Suns and the Suns and the Heat. And I really don't like that trade for the Heat. I think that the Suns got some really good pieces and Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington and some really cheaper pieces. And I really don't like Ryan Anderson. And I don't know how much of a needle mover he's going to be for the Miami Heat. You look at even with the 76ers getting Tobias Harris, I think that's a really great deal for the 76ers, and I'm not sure how I feel on the Clippers side of that. You look at the Portland move. I really don't like that they went and felt like they had to get Rodney Hood and felt like they thought that Rodney Hood would be something that made a difference when you get to the playoffs. It's just, it's all this Anthony Davis buzz that's almost masked these really weird and funky moves by a bunch of teams that feel super one-sided. And so if I'm looking at this trade deadline and this kind of trade, the 2018-19 trades in a lens of just the entirety of what's happened in the NBA, it kind of feels like you're fleshing out some of the sillier, more desperate GMs as opposed to really getting some decent trades that are making multiple teams good.
Well, Colt, I wanted to chime in. So for like the Clippers deal, I don't really think that's like one-sided for both teams. I think it's a win just in terms of Tobias going to Philadelphia. I mean, good God, could their offense be any better now? You've got pretty much four elite guys, and then throw in J.J. Redick. Good Lord. And then the fact that you throw in Philadelphia is going to have the bird rights for Harris and Butler. So God forbid if they wanted to go super over the luxury tax, they could. Or if something comes awry, they can sign and trade. And honestly, low-key, I think the Clippers are trying to make a play for AD. I really think it's out there, man. Look at all these assets that they just accrued. Mind you, they don't really have any young assets per se. I mean, they got the young kid out of Wichita State from Philadelphia that they could try to throw in. But, man, it seems like to me New Orleans is posturing right now, or they're having a pissing contest with the Lakers, and they want all this ransom, and I don't know if they don't care for what the Lakers have. They, you know, New Orleans wants draft picks, and the Clippers are starting to incur those. And that Miami pick, I believe it's in 2020 or 21.
2020.
Yeah, there you go. That's going to be very valuable, very valuable. And then, you know, if the Clippers keep their pick this year, it's going to be somewhere, you know, at least in the lottery borderline. So that's something. And then as far as anything else, Colt, I like the crap, I'm so sorry. I'm having just a brain fart right now. You went over it. Crap, pass. Go, Trey.
This is how these trio pods go, man. All good. Yeah, I mean, for the Anthony Davis, like how Colin and both of you were saying, it feels like that the Anthony Davis news and Woj and Shams kind of breaking this Davis trade craziness is just kind of, you know, it's foreshadowed these smaller moves. So I kind of did see these smaller moves happening because we've been talking about how guys like Tyler Johnson got these crazy contracts, or even Evan Turner for the Blazers, and what these teams were going to do in the years of 2019, 2020, and we're finally seeing the repercussions of signing those guys to such long-term deals, such heavy cap in the summer of 2016. So now we're starting to see a lot of those guys move along, and I think we're going to start to see a lot more of those deals happen tonight, going into the morning, and up to 3 p.m. in the deadline tomorrow. Now, there are a couple guys that I'm surprised haven't been moved yet, and it's not just Anthony Davis, because I'm really feeling like, even though I do agree with Brian wholeheartedly that I think the LA Clippers are going in on Davis low-key, and I think that signing Kawhi there and grabbing Davis is the idea that the Clippers have moving forward. I don't think Davis will get moved by the deadline, but there are some other names that have been kind of floating that haven't been moved yet, which I've been kind of surprised about, which are Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. And we've talked a lot about those two guys here on our podcast, because as you might know or not know, Brian, apparently the Timberwolves and Andrew Wiggins can't play against the Memphis Grizzlies. We just ultimately lose every performance against them. So that's been really, really tough. So I've been surprised not to see those two guys get moved. And not to mention just some other one-year rental contracts that haven't been moved yet either. And Kemba Walker out of Charlotte, who I'm surprised I haven't seen his name. I haven't barely seen his name in trade talks at all. I think Michael Jordan and him really want to re-sign a max there, but I'm just surprised nobody's been offering a lot for Kemba. And there's just a bunch of other rental guys that are just kind of sitting there in their respective teams that I'm surprised more teams aren't jumping at the bits for right now.
Can I say the funniest thing that will probably end up happening that will bring me joy? That Anthony Davis ends up getting traded to the Clippers and the Lakers end up with nothing. That would make me so happy.
I don't think anybody would be crying over whatever if the Lakers miss out on anybody. I mean, there's nobody else in the NBA like the Lakers franchise that can just piss away their draft picks and not develop their young talent and miss on opportunities and then end up with like a LeBron James in your lap.
And you get an older LeBron James with so much tread on those tires, man. And he's trying to just run everybody out of there. Why would Ingram, Ball, or Kuzma want to play with this guy?
Yeah, it feels like every time we have this conversation, it ultimately comes to, I don't think many players want to play with LeBron. I think it's always been overstated. I think he's always wanted to play with his friends for a reason, because they're his friends. And I don't think you can pair him up with guys that he doesn't necessarily get along with. And so maybe this Lakers stint with the Lakers is proving that not everybody wants to play with LeBron James. And that's obviously a problem. And that's not me saying he's not the second best player of all time, the first best player of all time. I'm not having that argument right now. I'm just saying that it's pretty simple, and I think it's objective at this point, that he just doesn't get along with some guys and he doesn't want them on their team. And it was kind of evident in that game. I forget who they're playing. I think it was the Pacers when they were getting blown out last night, where he was sitting like four seats down on the bench and he wasn't even next to the guys. He wants a move done for Anthony Davis. It's just that Magic Johnson has to trade his whole freaking roster and four first-round picks for Anthony Davis, and he's just not ready to do that. And even if he is, New Orleans doesn't want it. They don't want to become the Lakers. So it's a tough situation right now surrounding Davis. But like I said, there's a bunch of other guys that could possibly, potentially be moved by the deadline that are borderline all-stars or actual all-stars that could potentially be those GameStop-type deals that Dallas just got in Kristaps, where we could see teams really take advantage of other teams, like how they did with the New York Knicks.
All right, before we head to our first break here, Brian, just give me your we haven't really talked since the trade, but give me your emotions on being maybe the biggest heist in the NBA right now, pulling off the biggest heist by getting Porzingis and only having to give up pieces that you didn't want on your roster anyways, and basically being a part of the worst salary dump in NBA history.
I will be completely honest with you both. I am still just drunk from this deal. Like, I'm in awe that this was able to happen, because listening to some details that have leaked or come out the past, 24 hours, apparently this deal happened within an hour right after this KP meeting that went down last Thursday with the Knicks. And I guess the Mavericks have always made it known to Dolan and the Knicks front office that, hey, if you ever want to get rid of Porzingis, give us a call. And I guess that relationship ended up working out pretty good. Apparently, the NBA is really mad at Dallas for, like, because they didn't get an opportunity to do this. But hey, man, that's why you have good. You got to have that good rapport, good relationships with people. Because when shit hits the fan, they're gonna call you first. They're not gonna make it known like, hey, Brooklyn, hey, Toronto, hey, San Antonio, like, let's make this deal. No, there was a reason Dallas got called first, because Cuban obviously had that good relationship with Dolan, even though I think he's a miserable douchebag, and he's the reason the Knicks have, like, are where they're at currently. And just the fact that we basically traded away a disgruntled young point guard, DeAndre Jordan and Wes Matthews, both expiring, and getting, like, not only a potential superstar in KP, but we get functional pieces in return. Tim Hardaway Jr., hell yeah, sign me up for that. Because as we're recording, he's actually balling out right now for the Mavericks. Courtney Lee, functional. Trey Burke, who's actually had a solid year this year. Like, these are solid guys. These aren't just like throw-in scrubs you usually get in trades like this. I'm like really pumped because we've managed to rebuild the roster on the fly. Now, I don't think that's going to potentially lead to a playoff push, but, man, it's all about 2020 for L Unicorn. That's what I'm nicknaming this team, the KP Luka combo, L Unicorn. Get with it. And just FYI, another funny thing that will end up happening, and this would be perfect for just drama for the summer, if Irving signs with the Knicks, DSJ is going to get traded again, because his camp made this big stink about running a team. What do y'all think is going to happen when Irving gets there? He's not going to let DSJ run that team. So he's going to be a guy, unfortunately, that gets traded. He'll have three teams in 3 years, unfortunately.
Yikes. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely on the – if you're the Mavericks as opposed to basically everybody else in this deal, you're on the winning end of this. We're going to get to a break for sponsors, and then we're going to get to what trades must happen before the deadline expires. First, some sponsors. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, holding down the Lockdown Wolves, and we have Brian, the host of the Blue Hardwood Podcast, joining us as well, talking trade deadline. And now we're going to jump into what trades have to happen, what trades we desperately want to see happen. I'm going to lead us off here because I've got a juicy one. Mike Conley, I want to get him out of Memphis, and I'm trading him to the Detroit Pistons. And with some spare pieces, I'm basically doing a straight-up trade, Andre Drummond and Mike Conley with some spare parts. The Memphis Grizzlies get, like, Luke Kennard, a young player for their roster, and Andre Drummond is only, like, 25, 26, so another young guy for this new team they want to build. And then you're getting Mike Conley, a veteran, to the Pistons and to Blake Griffin for that playoff push, because they're just, I think they're like 1.5 games outside of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. And with a duo like that, that should be enough of a core to at least get them into the playoffs. What say you, gentlemen?
I am so mad that Colton just said that, because that's the number one for me to talk too long, Colton. That's the trade I have written down on my piece of paper in front of me. I am disgusted, but also weirdly pleased. I am glad that we
both. You should be proud. You should be proud.
Yeah. I am very proud that Mike Conley is going to be a Detroit Piston, and I never thought I would say that in my entire life. But in this scenario, I'm very proud that we came to that conclusion. I just want to see a Mike Conley Blake Griffin duo. Like, that'd be a lot of fun. So I'm right on board with that one. I think it'd be a good time. And it also gives, Memphis a new look. Playing Jaren Jackson next to Andre Drummond, who's only 25 years old. Like, a lot of people forget that Drummond's only 25. That's really young. And I know he's had such a bad year this season compared to the past few years. But I really think if you give him a new destination, kind of a new staff to build around, especially with Jaren, like, that guy's going to be really, really good, as we talked about on this pod before. I really like that idea, Colton. So I'm glad you went that route. I'm right there with you. I'll counter it with another deal that's a little bit crazier, since we're not sticking with our teams at the moment. I have more of a philosophical trade made here, where we're trading two borderline superstars at the moment to kind of switch up the philosophy of both teams. I have the Philadelphia 76ers trading Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz to the Charlotte Hornets for Kemba Walker and Malik Monk. And my idea here is to kind of get three rental players on a contract where you can keep the bird rights in Kemba, Jimmy, and Tobias, pair next to Joel Embiid. You get a true point guard in Philadelphia who can spread the ball and facilitate, but also shoot from anywhere on the court. You get Malik Monk, to kind of take over from Landry Shamet, who was just traded to the Los Angeles Clippers. And then from the Charlotte Hornets perspective, you get Ben Simmons, who's been wanting his own team for since he's been in the NBA or even when he was with LSU. And then they also get Markelle Fultz, who is a project, obviously, and who knows what will ever happen with him. But I can see Michael Jordan pulling the trigger on this one, even though he has a tight relationship with Kemba, because he likes Ben Simmons. He loves Ben Simmons. So I know this deal is pretty crazy. I just think it really helps both teams moving forward.
I like the idea of Miles Bridges and Ben Simmons playing together too, because I feel like Bridges will need the ball less. And you, Joel Embiid, you definitely want to play the offense through him a little bit. You want to play the offense through Jimmy Butler. Whereas you move Kemba Walker off of that team, you basically want Ben Simmons to handle every single possession that that offense is running from there on out, because of the lack of Kemba Walker on that team and because of the specific young guys they have there. I think that would actually be a really good scenario for Simmons.
Yeah, that's the hope. And, you know, the main idea for Philly is that you get more freedom moving forward to sign whoever you like to a max. Mm-hmm. And I just think the idea of putting together Kemba, Jimmy, and Joel is just a scary trio. And to have Tobias as kind of like that fourth guy kind of really cements them going into the Eastern Finals this season if they keep all those guys healthy. I think they could really make a championship squad with that team this year. And I think GM Elton Brand would keep his job for a very long time if he made that decision.
Brian, what's the must-see trade that you need to happen tomorrow?
Man, you guys actually stole my thunder a little bit. Conley was actually on the top of my mind. I've been trying to mess with this for a while. And the Oladipo injury is very sad to me, just because I feel like, man, that just the Pacers were there on the cusp but trying to make some noise in the Eastern Conference Finals. I would love for some way to get him in Indiana and have him pair with Depot once he gets back healthy, and that would actually give Indiana a long-term point guard. But just it's very, very hard with Indiana's money situation. You would almost have to essentially trade their entire team right now. It's not within reason right now, so I don't know how that would get done. Honestly, something for me, and I can talk about him because he's no longer on my team anymore. I would like to see Wes Matthews land somewhere like a Golden State, or even somewhere like a Philadelphia, and try to chase the ring, because he seems like a really good dude. So I don't know if New York would just buy him out outright. There's been scuttlebutt where the Knicks might do that. So it'd be super interesting to see like how many teams would line up on the door to sign him, because obviously money's not a problem. But if you bring him off the bench, he's your 7th-8th defensive stopper come the playoff time. I think that'd be really intriguing for somebody like the Warriors, or even Sixers, or Denver even.
I just like that we all want to get Mike Conley one more team to maybe get him to the playoffs a few more times. It feels like everybody really likes Mike Conley and the trooper that he's been in Memphis. And we all, at least as far as media people that I've talked to over the last couple weeks, we all want to reward Mike Conley and the grind that he's been on the last few years with a couple playoff appearances.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. I mean, he's never made an all-star team either, and I really hope, I wish that for him this season. He, obviously didn't grab that. But he's having a great season this year on a team that has just been riddled with injuries that seem to be nonstop. So it's just been a sad time for Conley this season, not getting rewarded. And I think the biggest reward for him, more so than an all-star year, would just be trying to go far in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And maybe even just like the Kemba trade I sent to Philadelphia, maybe even send Conley to Philly somehow. I would love to see him play there. I know the contract's gonna be messy. I just want to see him play on a playoff team that he can really do well on. And he's kind of voiced that he wants to go to the Eastern Conference anyways. He's done that this season, actually, just recently. So, like, I'd like him to see, hopefully, a push to the Eastern Conference, because they're in dire need of a point guard. So I agree with Brian's sentiment about Indiana. They definitely need a point guard, and that's why they drafted Aaron Holiday. He's obviously the hope for the future at the point guard position for them. But I really think Mike Conley would move the bar in the right direction for them this season, even with the Oladipo injury. I mean, they just beat the freaking Lakers last night by 40, 45 points, the biggest loss in LeBron's life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're still apparently a really good basketball team, and maybe I just don't get it, and maybe they're just 12 deep, and I haven't watched enough Pacers film, but apparently they can destroy LeBron James-led team. So maybe a Mike Conley deal there makes sense, Brian.
Well, and I think if you're a Memphis fan or follower, it's time to rip off that Band-Aid, man. You got to just go. I know there's been scuttlebutt here the last 24 hours about Gasol potentially going to Charlotte for a playoff push. And I think Charlotte understands they're trying to actually look at I'm just trying to actually think of who made a really big deal last night and gathered another center on their team. Crap. I'm having a brain fart here.
Center.
Are you thinking the 76ers with Boban?
No.
Or Bobo?
Crap. I'm so sorry, fellas. I'm having another brain fart here. It's been a long day. Apologize. No. They're trying to battle Orlando for the most bigs on the team because they just have, like, all these bigs just, like, floating around. So I don't know why, you know, Charlotte's got – they'd have Gasol, Zeller, Biombo, Kaminsky. So I don't really think you need another center there, but I think it would be nice for Memphis to just go ahead and just rip the Band-Aid off. You've got, you know, Triple J. You don't really have anything else going on right now, anything of substance. I mean, other than Triple J, who's on the Grizzlies that you would want to just tear away from them?
We're going to get to another break for some sponsors, and then we're going to take a look at our own teams before we head out here. First, some sponsors. All right, Brian, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. You have had an incredible run already leading up to the trade deadline with moves around your team. Looking from the outside, looking out towards the Timberwolves, what do you think the Timberwolves, within reason, what do you think the biggest move they can make is tomorrow?
Ooh, Timberwolves? Oh, man.
Or is there even a move that they can make that would be worth making?
Well, and that's funny, Cole, because, you know, we've always exchanged conversations through text about, you know, Minnesota's current situation. I mean, you're finally actually having some money come off the books this offseason. I mean, Taj Gibson is definitely a valuable commodity right now if teams are trying to, you know, absorb some money and have that extra cap space for the summer. But, you know, I would have said I'm not sure if they would have been in the Otto Porter market, but obviously that's already come and gone. So, I don't, you know, I would say that's your best asset for sure. You've got Gordy Jane still on a very long, strenuous contract. And then, you know, they're fighting for the last final playoff spot. So they're in a really, really hard spot right now. I know you boys talked about a, you know, cat potential trade, you know, trade thoughts. You know, I was just like, well, who are these guys trying to trade away their best player? Let's get on this. But
yeah, we got some heat for that show.
I saw that.
I was just upset because Stanley Johnson is now on a different team, and I would have loved to try and grab him. I don't know. It feels like you could have made a swap for giving them Anthony Tolliver or something. I don't know. There's not really a piece, though. I'm trying to think, Trey. There's not really a piece out there. There's not like a loose piece that I really want them to go out and grab that I think really helps them.
Well, and this, I mean, Cole, we've talked about this. And I think the biggest thing to do is kind of follow the trend of these losing teams right now. And I'm not saying the Timberwolves are a losing team, even though they have a losing record. I'm not saying that they're a losing team. But cutting cap is very important right now. And cutting cap before it's too late is even more important. And I think some buyers at the deadline are going to be teams at the bottom for big cap guys who haven't been able to get those guys in the free agent market. So if we're talking big cap guys who need to move, the first name that comes to mind is definitely not Gorgui Dieng, and me and Colton have alluded to this. Dieng is never going to be moved off this team. We could give up our 2019 unprotected first-round pick, and it would be almost impossible to get Dieng off this team right now. And the guy I look to immediately is Andrew Wiggins. Now, there are a few teams that could use that wing to give him high volume shooting, even an inconsistent basis, and hope that he can become the perennial superstar that he was supposed to be. And those two teams are the Sacramento Kings and the Orlando Magic. And the Sacramento Kings are making moves tonight, so that could be a possibility. But they've kind of already traded away the cap space to make that work in Iman Shumpert. So it's going to get kind of tough from there on out. I did, however, create a trade with Orlando for Reynolds that could possibly give Minnesota some good push going into the playoffs this season, but also empty some cap if with Wiggins, if that is indeed what they want to do. And according to John Krasinski of The Athletic, that is indeed what they would like to do, is move on from Wiggins, possibly. That's at least the rumor. So in this trade, I have Andrew Wiggins and Tyus Jones being traded to Orlando for Nikola Vucevic and Terrence Ross.
I already hate that.
So the idea behind it is, for Minnesota, is that you can play the two big man if you like together. Karl Anthony Towns, Nikola Vucevic, who obviously play more like fours than they do fives. But you're going to have to try something in case to get out of this Andrew Wiggins deal. And because Vucevic is a rental and he's going to leave Orlando no matter what this summer, you might as well try to grab him while he's still hot on the market, if possible, for Orlando. And then Terrence Ross is the kind of backup to Robert Covington that we've been needing this season. And then Tyus Jones is the point guard that Orlando has kind of been looking for on a cheap contract that hasn't yet proven himself due to a lack of minutes, that he could definitely get in Orlando. And the idea here for Orlando is that they play a Tyus Jones, Wiggins, Isaac, Gordon, Mo Bamba lineup, which is the definition of the small ball stretch 3-4 lineup, led by a flashy facilitator in Tyus Jones. So that was my idea behind this, and it's really just difficult to move Wiggins at all. Just kind of how we were joking about Towns trades. It's just hard to move Wiggins right now on a team that makes a lot of sense. This is the best thing I could figure out right now.
I have kind of to finish out here, I have kind of the opposite of that, where you have a bigger trying to clear some cap space, clear out a player who maybe isn't going to just isn't going to work in the system, maybe in Wiggins, and bring in some guys that could hopefully help grab some wins here to finish out the season for the Timberwolves, maybe make that push. I had a smaller one. It's just straight up Justice Winslow for Dario Saric. I know that it's a poison pill contract, Winslow's, but you have a bunch of these one-year contracts expiring over the summer, and so you're going to have a little bit more wiggle room in the cap this summer for the Timberwolves. And you're just grabbing a young player who's going to really help the defense, a young guy who you can have around for a few years, and maybe he kind of grows with this core of like Josh Okogie, Tyus Jones, Karl Anthony Towns, and he's kind of one of those young core that you're building towards. And maybe he doesn't help you win a ton of games this year, but maybe next year when Josh Okogie has another year on about, that's when you start seeing all these young guys together kind of make a difference on this team. And then you're offering this up to the Miami Heat as you just lost a couple of guys on your offense. You added Ryan Anderson, but here's another guy who you can play off of his three-point shooting, and Dario Saric, who can play off of his three-point shooting, run a little bit bigger of a lineup, maybe even throw like Hassan Whiteside at the five, run a really big lineup, but you still have a bunch of three-point shooters in that lineup, something to give them a little different look. I don't know. It's one of those smaller moves where it's just getting a young talent to look towards the future without having to make a huge landscape kind of changing move for the Timberwolves.
I like it. Now, I want to actually rapid fire real quick with you gentlemen. Trey, first off, I always said I dislike your Vooch trade. Well, I guess in theory it doesn't really matter because low-key Dallas wants to sign him in the offseason, so don't tell anybody. So our goal and this intent is to create the biggest Euro team ever in the NBA history, so just keep that in mind. And just
the new Europe.
Yes, pretty much, yes. It would be insane. I don't know how the lineup would work like defensively, but I think it'd be really fun. My Mavericks trade, so to land potentially Vooch, and depending on whatever happens with the KP extension, qualifying offer, whatever the case may be, if it seems like Dallas is trying to make some low-key, like, I know we keep on saying that, but if they're trying to sneak under the radar and not make a lot of noise, if they're looking at somebody like Vooch, they're going to have to make a little bit more cap space. So to help out Sacramento with their playoff push, I offer them Harrison Barnes, and I will take the dead bodies of Zach Randolph's and Kosta Kufis. So that way that frees up Dallas a little space to make a money move like that. And just one more rapid fire question for you guys. Why are you guys trying to get rid of Wiggins? Is Wolves Nation just tired of him, or what? You know, what's the deal?
The man shooting 20%, like under 30% from the field and under 20% from three over the last few games, and he's just, the inconsistencies are starting to wear out their welcome.
Yeah, I was about to ask Colton. I was like, "How do you want to go about this answering this?" there's a lot, Brian. Essentially, like, everyone loves Wiggins' personality. We all like him as a role player and a teammate, but his lack of production has just been so apparent over the past year and a half now. He's just playing so poorly, and whether it's the change in coaching style, or the change in players on this roster when trading from Jimmy Butler, we don't really know what it is, and we're not really sure how to move forward with this one, because if he does continue on this downtrend, he's going to be impossible to move over the next three seasons. And it's just the high volume that's an inconsistent makes that has led us to kind of be sour on Wiggins, especially me. I mean, I'm just a trade kind of guy, so like I talk about it way too much on this pod. But the two guys I really have a big problem with are Jeff Teague, just because I hate his style of basketball. Colton knows this.
Yep.
And Andrew Wiggins. And Wiggins, again, isn't a personality thing. It is not it's not a fit. It's more so just a lack of consistency on that contract. That contract is so poisonous, man. It's really tough to get out of. So kind of end on your rapid fire there, the first thing I have to say is Wiggins, the reason I feel the way I do about Wiggins is because he just hasn't played well. And that's it. And he gets paid $25 million. He's even getting paid $32 million when he's 27 years old or 26 years old. So that's not really what I want from this team in the future.
That is
go ahead, Colton. Sorry.
Oh no, go ahead and finish out.
Yeah. Well, as for your other ideas for Vooch, I have heard the whispers of the Dallas Mavericks trying to assemble the White Avengers, essentially. and I really hope that this
quest
to Dallas to create the whitest team of all time comes true for you. Just to kind of take it in the different politically correct way of your.
They're going to look like the Wisconsin Badgers.
I'm just going to really appreciate the craftiness of your team next year. You will never see a sentence if the Dallas Mavericks get Vucevic next season without the crafty in a sentence of that basketball team, because there will be no other way to explain all those Europeans.
Oh, my gosh.
Jim Ratty. gritty hustle guys that play out of position when they need to.
Scrappy.
Lunch pail guys.
They're going to be scrappy.
So I like the idea of getting those poor pieces from the Sacramento to move Harrison Barnes, which is funny because I actually created a trade for Harrison Barnes to go back to Colin's point in Miami. Not with Justice Winslow, although I do think there's something there that we should talk about in the future, Colin, with Winslow and Dario. But Harrison Barnes to Miami for Hassan Whiteside and Rodney Magruder. I didn't realize that Dallas is so high on Vucevic, aside from the jokes. Like, I'm assuming that they might actually be high on him this summer. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find you a defensive anchor that could kind of play the five next to Porzingis at the four. And Whiteside or Drummond were the only two players I could find. And because Harrison Barnes fit next to Blake Griffin would be kind of wacky, I decided to send him to Miami and give you a small forward in Magruder, who's on a one-year, $1.5 million contract, and then give you Whiteside as your starting five for the next season and a half. So what were your thoughts about that move?
Man, so wait. So we just went through a situation where we got left at the door by a free agent center, got him to Dallas, and ended up trading him. So this would be part two of that scenario, because Whiteside... Yeah. I don't want to say let us on, but, you know, he was like, maybe. So, I mean, and that contract's not very great either. So, I know Vooch is a little bit older. I believe Vooch is 28, I believe, if you guys want to fact check me there. I would rather throw that money towards Vooch for sure. Or, you know, even take a gamble of somebody cheaper like Maxi Kleba, just because... Like, I'm all for cheap labor, although, you know, Maxi Kleba may not be, like, the beefiest guy, but, you know, he'll at least go to the rim and block somebody's shot. So I'm not really enamored with the Whiteside scenario. I mean, obviously, Luka would make him so much better. And, Trey, it's funny that you bring up Miami, too. Like, another Euro that the Mavericks could be interested in. Watch out.
No.
Yes. I'm just saying. The Mavericks could be interested in Dragic for sure. Like,
no, don't do it. That's his baby.
You team white Euro, it just, you know, Luka and him have a relationship. So I don't know. That's probably not a very good defensive team, mind you. But it, you know, just keep an eye on that. Like, hashtag so white. It could happen.
I will not tolerate any Goran Dragic trades via this podcast. I cannot see Goran move again in my lifetime. He needs to stay and die in Miami. I do really like the idea of him and Doncic playing together, though. All jokes aside, like, they play in Slovenia. That'd be a lot of fun. So, yeah, I guess go at it, Brian. That's fine. Have Dragic. Do whatever you can in Dallas. Colin, I feel like I totally interrupted your answer there. So if you want to try to battle any of these.
I was just about to say, I think that's about as good of a place to end it is vanilla basketball in Dallas. I don't know what could end a podcast better than all the white ball pains jokes that we've made. And best of luck to Dallas and their pale... their pale version of basketball, I guess. I want to thank Brian for joining the show. Make sure to check out the Blue Hardwood podcast. And thank everyone for listening and tuning in and handling all of our crazy trades and joining the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.